Well, we're going to cover this morning the first lesson concerning the human spirit. So why don't you quickly turn to the outline. It's under tab 2. It's the first outline on the human spirit. I'll give you a moment to get that outline out. I would like to begin in this way before we touch the outline. What is your reaction when you see the title, The Human Spirit? When you realize that there's going to be a series of lessons concerning this wonderful matter of our human spirit. I hope there's not a reaction within some of us of, oh, not again. I hear this all the time. No, we should not have that reaction. In fact, that kind of response or reaction in us is an indication we don't know our human spirit as we ought to know it. We don't value or esteem our human spirit as God values and esteems our human spirit. So I hope this morning all of us could be poor in spirit, could really turn our heart, open our heart to the Lord, and let Him speak to us concerning our human spirit. The matter of our human spirit, it is fundamental. It's rudimentary. We all need to know our human spirit. Without our human spirit, you don't know God. Without our human spirit, you have no way to contact God, to realize God, to experience God, and to enjoy God. It's so fundamental that I shouldn't give this message. Someone who is a college senior by now should be able to come up here and give this message on the human spirit. Look at the scripture reading. It is so fundamental that I should be able to pick any one of you in the audience and ask you, what does Genesis 2:27 say? Part of me would like to do that, but the other part of me realizes we don't have the time. But how about you right now, in 10 seconds, why don't you peruse those verse references? Why don't you test yourself? Do you know those verses? Genesis 2:7, Proverbs 20:27, Zechariah 12:1b, Romans 9:1, John 4:24. Okay, what does John 4:24 say? God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Very good. We should know. We should know this matter, this truth of the human spirit. We should know it according to the revelation that is in the Word of God. And more importantly, we need to know our human spirit. We need to know our human spirit according to experience. So it's not just that we would have the doctrine, the teaching, the knowing, the understanding of the human spirit, but we would know our spirit. Amen. Let me ask you, do you know your spirit? Do you know your spirit? How much do you know your spirit? Let me ask you this question. Do you exercise? Do you use your spirit? Then how much do you exercise? How much do you use your spirit? The lack of knowing, the lack of exercising our spirit comes from a lack of revelation concerning our spirit. If we have a revelation of our human spirit, we would be a group of people on this earth who are beside ourselves, who would always be seeking to know our spirit and to exercise our spirit. Okay, let's come to the outline. Roman numeral 1. The human spirit, its creation. A. By Jehovah God, breathing the breath of life into man. Genesis 2:7. Be good if you have your Bibles out, and we could turn to a number of these verses and even read them together. Genesis 2:7. Jehovah God formed with the dust of the ground Jehovah God formed man with the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In this account of the creation of man, previously with all the other creatures, God spoke and they came into being. Yet with man, it was particular. He came down and he took the dust of the ground and he formed man's body from the dust, the clay of the ground. And then God came to that dust. He came to that clay and he breathed into that dust, into that clay, the breath of life. The breath of life. Now we need to turn to Job 33:4 and write this verse reference down under point A for Roman numeral 1. That's Job 33, verse 4. Okay. Now let's read this verse together. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has enlivened me. What a verse. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty has enlivened me. What caused man to be enlivened? What caused man to have life? God's breath. The breath of the Almighty. The breath of the Almighty has enlivened me. Now this is significant that it would say the breath of the Almighty, but we do need to be careful here that this breath of the Almighty is not the same breathing as in John 20:22. There in resurrection, the Lord came to his disciples and he breathed into them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But here in Genesis 2, when God created man, yes, something came out of God. God breathed his breath into man. And that breath caused man to be enlivened, caused man to have life. But that breath that God breathed was not God's life, and it was not God's spirit. But it was something coming out of God that is very close to God. Very close to God. But it is not God's spirit, and it is not God's life. And this breath that came out of God is the material that God used to make our human spirit. Amen. So our human spirit, its source is from God. From that breath that came out of God. It's something that's very close to God. Very close to God's life. Very close to the Spirit of God. So that, one day our spirit would receive the life of God and receive the Spirit of God. Because the Bible reveals this wonderful, wonderful truth that the human life will be grafted into the divine life. The human life will be joined to the divine life. In order for two lives to be joined together, to be grafted together, they need to be similar. They need to be similar. So this breathing out of God, His breath, it was not the life of God, it was not the Spirit of God, but something very close to God. Because when God breathed out that breath to become the Spirit within man, God had a view. God had a view. One day, I as life, I as the Spirit, I am going to come into this man. Amen. And there is a part of this man that I can come into, that I can be joined with, united with, Amen. Mingled with. Amen. And that part is our human spirit. Amen. Now, do you think God said, I just made the spirit within man? I think God was ecstatic. I think God was excited that there was a spirit within man. Because now there is an organ within man which can contact the life of God and the Spirit of God. We have to be impressed with our human spirit. We have to be impressed with who created our humans. It was made by God with a purpose to be able to contact God, to receive God and contain God. Okay, we need to read another verse, Proverbs 20, 27. Okay, Proverbs 20, 27. Let's read this together. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the innermost parts of the inner being. So this is B under Roman numeral 1. The breath of life becoming man's spirit. It's wonderful. You look at that story in Genesis 2. God took that dust, that clay, formed the body of man. He breathed the breath of life into that dust, into that clay, and that caused man to be enlivened. And when that breath touched that clay, that dust, man got enlivened, and it says man became a living soul. And this matches the revelation in the Bible that man has three parts. A body, which is from the dust, the clay. A soul, which is what is the result of that breath of the Almighty touching that dust, that clay. And what happened to that breath? What happened to that breath? That breath became our human spirit. Amen. And this is clearly seen when we take Genesis 2:7 with Proverbs 20:27. In Hebrew, the common rendering of the word spirit, which can mean breath, is ruach. That is the common use of the word spirit or breath. But in Genesis 2:7, a particular word is used, which is neshama. And then in Proverbs 20:27, that word neshama is used again for the spirit of man. So when you read Proverbs 20:27, it reads the neshama, the spirit of man. What is that neshama? What is that spirit? That is the breath that God breathed into man in Genesis 2:7. So let me ask you, what happened to that breath of life that God breathed into man in Genesis 2:7, that breath of life became what? Man's spirit. Became man's spirit. Became the human spirit. So man has three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit is very close to God. It is an organ. It is a part of our being that is able. That is able. It's able to contact God. It's able to receive God's life and to receive the Spirit of God. Amen. What a spirit we have. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 2. Its importance. It's ranked with the heavens and the earth. Okay, I think we're familiar with Zechariah 12:1b, right? How does that go? God, Jehovah God who stretched forth the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth and form the spirit of man within him. Okay. This verse, Zechariah 12:1, it shows us that our spirit is ranked with the heavens and the earth. This means in order for God's purpose to be fulfilled, our human spirit is as crucial as His creating the heavens and the earth. It's as crucial. In fact, it may even be more crucial. In order for God to get His eternal purpose, He had to stretch forth the heavens. And He had to create the earth. And it was also crucial that he would put a spirit within man. You may read Zechariah 12:1, and you may read God, according to what's important, God stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth. And he formed man. But it doesn't say, and he formed man. Because man is not like any other creature. Man is unique. Man is distinct from all the other creatures. Not merely because God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion, but particularly because within man there is a human spirit. No other creature has this spirit. And the reason why we have a spirit is because of God's good pleasure, His heart's desire, His eternal purpose, which is God wants to get into man. God wants to live within man. God wants to be expressed within man. Yet God cannot do this without the human spirit. Do we have this kind of esteeming of the human spirit? How necessary it is? And when we talk about it being necessary, it's not just that it's there, but that it would be exercised for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. How much money and time has man spent exploring the heavens? I don't know. But man has spent probably trillions of dollars and countless of man hours exploring the marvels of the heavens. Maybe if I brought a PowerPoint with slides of the universe, you would just be ooh and ah. You'd be so entertained, marveling at the heavens. How about the earth? How much money, how much time has man spent exploring, researching, studying the earth and all that's on the earth? Countless hours, right? How about you and I? How much do we dream about traveling the earth? I was your age once. I had big dreams. I had countries I wanted to go to. I even bought a backpack so I could backpack through Europe. But what about our human spirit? How much time does man spend being occupied with the human spirit? That crucial part in creation that enables God to get His very heart's desire. Then how about you and I? How much time, even we know about our human spirit, but how much time do we actually spend in our spirit? How much do we use our spirit? Well, do you have a little prayer forming within you? Oh Lord, my spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, don't let me forget my spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, remind me to exercise my spirit. Amen. Okay, Roman numeral 3. It's three parts. So this wonderful organ within our being that can receive the life of God, the Spirit of God, it has three parts. A, the conscience. The conscience, that's the part within our spirit that approves of what God approves and it condemns what God condemns. It's that part that lets us know what's right according to God's standard and what's wrong according to God. We should take care of our conscience. B, fellowship. Fellowship. And I'd like to spend some time on this word fellowship. And there's some wonderful verses here. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is our enjoying God. Fellowship is our contacting God. Fellowship is our coming to God. This is fellowship. John 4:24. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit Our worshiping is part of our fellowship. Amen. Romans 1:9. Serving God where? In my spirit. Then Romans 7:6. Serving God in newness of spirit. So fellowship includes worshiping. It includes serving there in Romans. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself witnesses with my spirit. What's this witnessing? This is a fellowship, a mutual enjoying, a mutual speaking. Ephesians 6:18, pray in spirit. Amen. When we pray in our spirit, this is fellowship. Luke 1:47, Mary exalted in Jehovah, in her spirit. So our spirit is for exalting. Our spirit is for praising. Our spirit is for enjoying the Lord. Amen. How much do you use your spirit for exalting? For enjoying the Lord? Then 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Our spirit is a place where we are joined. I mean, Joe, we are joined. Joined to the Lord. So, how much time do we spend every day in the reality of being joined to the Lord? There's only one place where it's real, and that is in our spirit. So this marvelous, wonderful organ, our human spirit, is for us to fellowship. I mean, fellowship. Think about this. We are a group of people on this earth who get to fellowship with God. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says that God is faithful to call us into the fellowship of His Son. And that Greek word fellowship means to call you into participation. Into participation. In other words, God wants us to participate in Christ. To enjoy Christ. Where is the place that we participate? We fellowship, we enjoy Christ. The only place is in our human spirit. Amen. I never knew this. I grew up in a Christian home. Grew up going to church meetings from a young child. I got convicted of my sins when I was 13. I definitely got saved. I got regenerated. I got baptized when I was 15. And I could tell you, at my beginning of my first year of university or college, I would say I was a Christian, but I didn't know how to fellowship with God. I had no idea. All I knew was, I was a Christian, and I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday. And so I'd go to church on Sunday. Then every other day, I'd go do what I wanted to do, which was enjoy the world. And sometimes I'd go to conferences, sometimes I'd go to meetings, and sometimes those meetings would be really enjoyable. And other meetings, not so enjoyable. And I couldn't really tell you why were some meetings enjoyable and other meetings I couldn't wait to get out of there. I had no idea what made the difference. Then one day in my first year at college, the Lord was merciful because I found my human spirit. And I learned how to exercise and use my human spirit. Amen. And I touched God. Amen. I mean, either you got to agree with me or you have to think I'm crazy. Because I know, I knew it. I touched God. Amen. I had fellowship with God. Amen. I participated in God. Amen. And that was the greatest joy I had ever experienced on the earth. And I made this decision. If I can touch God like that once, then I'm going to touch Him like that all the time. And if I can go to my meeting and exercise my spirit in the meeting, and by exercising my spirit, I get into this fellowship with God, which is like, woo! It is the best thing ever!
Amen.
Then every time I go to a meeting, I want that reality. I'm not going to sit in that chair and be dead ever again. That's how real it was to me. When I found my human spirit, when I found how to use it, when I found out that by using it, I get to enter in and enjoy God.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been perfect since then, but I have been on this path of learning to exercise my spirit.
Amen.
And then when I go to any kind of meeting, any kind of gathering, there is this determination, I am not going to be dead in that meeting. But I'm going to touch God, enjoy God in that meeting. And I know how to do it. I found the secret. The key is all you got to do is exercise your spirit.
Amen.
This word participation. Participation. Party. Party. Yeah. I'm using the word party. Did you ever realize the Christian life is a party? Have you got to that truth yet? Have you made that discovery yet? The Christian life, the church life, is a party. It's a great big party. I'm not joking. I'm actually serious. The Christian life is the best party on earth. The church life is the best party on earth. All those other parties out there, they're fake. They're false. They're a facade. They're not the real party. The real party is when we gather together and we enjoy Christ.
Amen.
There is no greater joy than this.
Amen.
So the more we party, the better.
Amen.
Did you realize that?
Hallelujah.
The more we party, the better. The more we enjoy Christ in our spirit, the better.
Amen.
That's why you shouldn't just meet once a week. You should meet every day with the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You should meet with them every day on campus. And when you meet every day on campus, it's not just to eat lunch. It's not just to shoot the breeze. It's not just to trade war stories about this class being so hard and that test being so difficult. When you gather together, you should party. You should enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
If I come and visit you on your campus, what should I find you doing? I should find you partying, enjoying the Lord in your spirit. And when others walk by on the campus, they should stop and look and wonder, what are you doing? And you say, come join the party. Come and join us. I'm serious. Oh Lord, our spirit. Oh Lord, fellowship. So we have the conscience. We have the fellowship. And we have intuition. In our spirit, we have intuition. We have a direct sense of God, a direct knowing of God, a direct knowledge of God, and of God's will, and of God's intention. This is something that will develop out of your fellowship with the Lord. The more you fellowship with the Lord, the more you'll begin to just know, this is God's will in this particular matter. This is God's intention. This is what the Lord wants me to do. You will just know. Where will you know? Not in your mind, which is full of reasonings and analytical analysis of what's the right thing, the best thing to do. But deep down within your being, within your spirit, you will know. Okay, let's go on. The function. It's function. Okay, how about brothers? Declare A.
To contact God.
Oh, our spirit contacts God.
Amen.
So brothers, that was pretty lame. How about you do it again? Okay, think about what your spirit can do. And why don't you declare point A again. Our spirit does what?
To contact God.
When we use our spirit, who do we contact?
God.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Is it real to you?
Amen.
Okay, B, sisters. Oh, that's a good warm-up. Now, really do it. Go.
To receive God.
That's right. What does our spirit enable us to do? We receive God. We receive God. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel 36:26. Okay? Ezekiel 36:26. Let's read this together. I will also give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the heart stone out of your flesh, and I will give you
a heart of flesh.
Again, in verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and my ordinances, keep and do. This is wonderful. So when we believed in the Lord, when we got regenerated, the Lord gave us a new heart to love Him and a new spirit that could receive Him.
Amen.
You know, with our new heart, we love the Lord. But that's not enough. We need to love the Lord and we need to receive the Lord. And I love the illustration in the excerpts. You may love food. You may love In-N-Out hamburger, but unless you have a stomach, there's no way to receive the In-N-Out hamburger, no matter how much you love it. Well, we've been given a new heart to love God, and we've been given a new spirit, which is our spiritual stomach, so that we can receive God. Okay, C. Its function is to contain God. Okay, where's God today? Brother, where's God today?
In our spirit.
Very good. Where's God? He's in my spirit.
Amen.
Okay. Brother, if you wanted to go and fellowship with the President of the United States, where would you go to find him? The White House, right? On Pennsylvania Avenue, right? In Washington, D.C. That's his address. That's his residence. If you want to find him, you go there. He'll be there. Okay. Today, if you want to find God, the God of the universe, if you want to meet with him, if you want to fellowship with him, if you want to spend time with him, if you want to just hang out with him, where do you find him?
In my spirit.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't he so great and so awesome that he has to be in the heavens? Well, yes, he's in the heavens. But what?
He's also in my spirit.
Amen.
Did you hear what this brother said?
Amen.
Is he telling you the truth?
Amen.
God is where, brother?
In my spirit.
Amen.
Wow. Mine too.
Amen.
So where do you find God? You find him in your spirit. So, I have another question. Now you know where God hangs out. Now you know where God lives. How often do you visit him? How often do you visit him? Hang out with him? Probably like me, not enough, right? But may we get the aspiration within our being to visit God eventually all the time. Okay, Roman numeral 5. So we see this marvelous revelation of the human spirit. It was created by God from the breath of life breathed into man. It has wonderful functions of the conscience, of fellowship, of intuition. But through the fall of man, our spirit was deadened. Was deadened. That means it was deadened, it lost its function. That means the human spirit particularly lost its function of fellowship and of intuition. God, in His mercy, left the conscience active in our spirit as a means to preserve us, to keep us, but our spirit was deadened. We better get to Roman numeral 6. Let's read this together. Being regenerated. So even though our spirit was deadened, the Lord, through His death and His resurrection and becoming the life-giving spirit today. He enlivens our spirit.
Amen.
So, A, being regenerated by the Spirit. B, with God's life. Today, our spirit is alive.
Amen.
Today, our spirit has God's life.
Amen.
Has God's spirit.
Amen.
And its function has been restored. But I'd like to end with this point and the last three points with a little practical fellowship. So let's read the last three points, and I'll release the little practical fellowship, and then we'll give you some time. Is that right? To respond. Okay? So let's read the last three Roman numerals. To be one spirit with the Lord, to be the dwelling place of God, walking by it and according to it. So our spirit has been regenerated. Now, in our spirit, we are one with the Lord. We are joined to the Lord. Our spirit is the dwelling place of God. And the last Roman numeral, we need to learn to walk by and according to this spirit. I shared with you that when I was 18, at the beginning of my college years, I didn't know my human spirit. Then I discovered my human spirit. I learned how to exercise, how to use it. And the place where I learned to exercise my human spirit was in a meeting. It was in a meeting. And I had a reaction, a response in my being that from that point on, whenever I went to a meeting, I would not be there dead, but I would be there living by exercising my spirit. But God wants us to know and to exercise our spirit, not only in the meetings. I feel many of us, it was in the meetings where we learned to exercise our spirit, and it's only in the meetings where we exercise our spirit. Where we may have been trained in such a way that when we walk into the meeting, we switch on the spirit, power on the spirit. And at the end of the meeting, as we walk out, we power down, switch off our human spirit. And so the use of our spirit is primarily limited to the meetings. But we need to be expanded in our experience. God's intention is that not only would you exercise your spirit in the meetings, but that even in your daily living, you would be someone who lives in your spirit, who walks in your spirit, who exercises your spirit all the time.
Amen.
But practically, we were not born with a spirit that was enlivened. We were not raised knowing how to exercise our spirit and our human life. And at some point, our spirit got regenerated, got enlivened. But still, because of the way we've been raised, we've never been really taught how to use our spirit in our daily living. We all now have a great learning. You all now have a great learning before you. That learning is not only to exercise your spirit in the meetings, which is wonderful, which you should continue to do, but you and I, we need to continue to learn to exercise our spirit in our daily living. Outside of the meetings, when we're walking to class, when we're in class, when we're talking to people, when we're talking with our friends, talking to our parents, when we're at work, whatever we do, we need to learn how to do it by exercising our spirit. Let me end with a personal testimony. I'm a learner just like you. Learning to esteem and value my human spirit as God would. Learning to exercise my spirit all the time. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning. 2 weeks ago, I was going to take my family to Yosemite to camp for 2 days. We were going to get up at 5 a.m. to go. And the day before, I was busy. I had a number of things I had to accomplish. And everything was going according to plan until I arrived home in my driveway at 5:17 p.m. in the afternoon. And I had just enough time to run inside to get something because I had to meet a brother at 5:30. Then I had to go to a brother's meeting and then take care of some work. And then I could go to Yosemite. I pull into my driveway. And there, as I look into my garage, is my van with the garage door closed on top of the hood of the van. And the garage door is crooked, where it hit the hood on one end and popped up on the other side. Panels had popped out, things were twisted, and I realized I wasn't going to get all those things done that had to be done before we went to Yosemite. So I walked inside. Nobody had any idea what had happened. I found out who was responsible. I wasn't happy with those that were responsible. Even though I didn't lose my temper, they still knew I was quite upset with what had happened. I began to make plans to get it fixed. Was on the phone, calling this person, calling that person, trying to work out how to get all the things done so that at 5 a.m. we could still go to Yosemite. After I hung up one of the phone calls, the Lord just kind of, hey, what about exercising your spirit right now?
Amen.
What about contacting me? You've been busy trying to fix the problem. You've been busy trying to find out whose fault it was. You've been busy trying to find out who can come and fix it. But for those 15 minutes, you didn't come to me. You didn't exercise your spirit. Actually, I thought I was doing pretty good not to lose my temper. But I realized I needed to learn right there to exercise my spirit.
Amen.
And do you know what the Lord gave me to do to exercise my spirit? It's really something quite simple and quite marvelous. And I should have done it the instant I pulled into the driveway and my eyes beheld the mess. The Lord says, why don't you just praise me right now?
Amen.
And so right there, I just began to exercise my spirit to praise the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, from that point on, there was no problem. It didn't matter. But I realized I need to learn in all things to exercise my spirit.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, may we become ones. In all things, we learn to exercise our spirit.
Amen.